Hey everybody, it is me, J. Marie, back with another unscripted, unfiltered journal entry. As I am recording this, I just got off of work. I am actually sitting in my driveway in the car. I haven't even turned the engine off yet. I find that on my drives home now, my car seems to be the only place of refuge that I have. I am a creature of habit. Every morning, you know, I have my routine. I get up when I have to go to the office, into the office. I set my alarm for 5:30 in the morning. I get up. I like my mornings quiet. I like to sit with God. I like to have my coffee. I just love to be uninterrupted as soon as my feet hit the ground. It's mandatory for me to start my day like that. My mornings, however, have not been that way for over the past month. And sis is struggling. So my place of refuge in the morning has now become my ride to work. When I do have to go into the office, it's become my car. Inside of my car has become my place of refuge. And any change at all really just throws me off. It takes a little while for me to adjust. Sometimes I just don't, you know. So what caused a change in my morning routine? The fact that I have become a caregiver for my 80-year-old mother that has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Mommy is pretty much self-sufficient. She's able to still bathe herself, dress herself, feed herself. She's just the short-term memory is starting to get the best of her, and nights are starting to be a bit difficult for her also. During the day, by the grace of God, during the day, we do have to leave her at home for a good amount of time because we ain't rich. We still got to work. So she does still have to stay at home. But she's able to call me and she's able to alert me when something is wrong. So I'm just so thankful to God that nothing has happened. We are in the process of getting some homemade into the home for companionship during those days when we need to be away from home. So, any hoot. I said all of that to say that this journey as a caregiver is very different for me because I love my mama to the end of this earth, but I don't like her. I love her, but I do not like her. I am struggling to deal with, to heal from generations of trauma that have been passed down from her mother to her and from her to me. And unfortunately for me, to my daughter. I was in the process of working through these things. I'm still in the process of working through these things. However, I was thrown into this caregiver role in the midst of healing. Please hear me when I say, I need prayers. On top of prayers. On top of prayers. Lord, please, God, y'all just keep me covered. You hear me? Because this is a challenge for me. My mama was just, I don't ever really remember her being a happy woman unless there was a man in her life to show her some attention. She just, even when I look at her in pictures and we were in the home, in her home, straightening up, picking up some things, something. Anyway, I just came across a picture, an older picture of her. And I said, she just, even back then, she just did not look happy. And I showed my husband and he's like, yeah, you know, I can see it. You know, and a few nights back, we had a conversation, me and my mom, and my husband was there also, you know, and I had to let her know, like, mama, you know, you just weren't nice. You know, you weren't nice. Where other people have bonds with their moms, mom is always caring and compassionate and hugging and loving and saying, I love you, and, you know, hugging and kissing and all of that. My mother never did that. I mean, I knew she loved me, but she never really gave me that outward expression of love. I don't ever remember that coming from her, at all. My mother is. She's a baby boomer, like I said, she's 80 years old. So she's lived through quite a bit. She's lived through the segregation. She's definitely experienced some racism, colorism. All of these things still sit on her, and some of these things she revisits. And this was long before her diagnosis of Alzheimer's. I mean, we would still hear, how can I say, she would make comments to us that no parent should make to their children. My mother, I mean, I thought she was one of the most beautiful women I had ever seen in my life. I am a lighter skinned woman. My mother is a dark skinned woman. She was always stylish, didn't play about her hair and her fashion. She was well put together. But for whatever reason, my mother just, I don't know if she did not like her skin tone. She felt as though she was untreated because of her skin tone. I don't know. But she would always make comments to me about me being accepted because of the color of my skin. She would make comments about people liking me and gravitating toward me, and it'd be easy for me to find a man and a companion because of how I looked and things like that. So my mama was like the first one to teach me about any of those isms, colorism, ageism, racism, any of those things. You know, a lot of that baby boomer generation, a lot of them believed, and they still do believe. And one thing's for sure, honey, that generation ain't never gonna adapt to the way of the world now. It's just not gonna happen, flat out. It ain't finna happen. It's not going to, and it's okay. You know, it's perfectly okay. At the age they are, we can't expect them to conform. You know what I mean? It's fine. But they lived through a lot. And back in those times, back in those days, if there was even counseling available, nobody took advantage of it. You know, everybody now, thank God, is adamant about getting help, seeking help for your mental health, you know. And back then, it wasn't a known thing, if it was a thing at all. Everybody back then was considered just crazy, quote unquote. And whatever happened in the home, you didn't talk about it outside of the home. So a lot of stuff went masked and not dealt with. And those traumas and those hurts that generation dealt with, whatever they did not heal from, unfortunately was passed down to us. And we have to learn to heal from it. If we do not learn to heal from it, we pass it down to our generation, and the cycle just continues to go on and on and on. So as I am learning to heal from those traumas that have passed down to me, and unfortunately, like I said, passed down to my baby girl and possibly to my son too, you know, it to be thrown into this caregiver role where now I have to essentially protect my mother. I have to be the first line of defense for her, where she was not for me. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. I was sexually assaulted between the ages of 10 and 12, and I shared that experience with my mother. My mother did not believe me. She never got me the help that I felt like I needed, even at that young age. I just remember feeling like, playing with Barbies at 9 to like almost feeling like a woman at 10 and a half and 11 years old, and I just started acting out. This once kid, this young girl, great grades in school, creative imagination, enjoyed dancing and acting and singing and blah, 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 blah. Like that little girl just died. She immediately died. I changed. I felt the change. Even at that young age, I felt it. And my mother, much like trauma was handled back when she was growing up, she handled me the same way. Yeah, she's just crazy. She just going through something. It'll pass or whatever. So we grew up in, I grew up in Queens, New York. My sexual assault happened at the hands of babysitter's husband in Queens, New York. And so once I started acting erratic, mommy's I guess her only thought was to uproot me from New York to Maryland, and all I did was bring the trauma from New York to Maryland, and it multiplied. It got worse. My life got harder. Things just progressed, and it just became I got out. It was just out of control. It was completely out of control. And I remember saying to myself as I got older, and I'm doing all of these things to hurt myself. And I'm saying to myself, like, if I don't get some healing, if I don't put an end to this, I'm gonna die. Not like I wanted to physically end my life, but I'm gonna die out here in these streets. And, I started having daddy issues and mommy issues. And at one point in my life when I was younger and I started acting erratic, my mother sent me to my father, who was a man that divorced my mom when I was 2 years old. He knew me, but he didn't know me. You know what I mean? He didn't grow up with me. He didn't know me at all. So I guess my mother thought, this girl may need a father in her life. I'll send her to him. And I was too much for him to deal with, so he sent me back. He didn't even tell me I couldn't come back. He sent message through her. And so that caused me to feel like, oh yeah, so the only man that's supposed to love me and protect me just abandoned me. So all of these things are just going on and running rampant in my head and coming out of my behavior. And I never got the help that I felt like a parent should provide for their child. So here we are in 2023, August of 2023. July is, when my mother decided that she no longer wanted to live alone. She was sick of being alone. She called me in distress. My husband and I went to go pick her up, and she has been here ever since. So I have not had a chance to prepare for this role. It's hard as hell, y'all. It is so hard. So hard. But I am going to do what I can for as long as I can. And I am not going to feel guilty for when I need to tap out. I'll do what I can for as long as I can right now because I'm a firm believer in God. I'm a firm believer in Jesus Christ. And this is what God would want me to do, to at least try, to at least give it my all. And maybe in this role, as I'm working through it, maybe I'll be able to find some healing. But I don't know. I know I'm in counseling and I love my therapist. I'm telling you right now, I don't know where I'd be without her and my husband, because this is hard. It's hard. Man plans and God laughs. This wasn't in my plan. I knew mommy was having some health challenges or whatever, I knew that. But I never thought that me, the girl that, mama gave the hardest time, that mommy just kind of hated on me. If it makes sense, women that have daughters, if you're listening to this podcast and your relationships are estranged, then you can get where I'm coming from. Like, this isn't a new thing. Mothers and daughters go through this sort of thing all the time, and sometimes mothers are jealous of their daughters. And I've experienced that with my mother. And it hurts. It hurts a great deal, you know? But I'm gonna try my best to work through this. Lord knows I am. I have gotten closure as far as the her expecting her to give me an apology. I know sometimes in life we have to be okay with an apology that we will never get. That's one of those things that I firmly believe in. And although I had a conversation with my mom and she apologized for it, for some reason I just really don't feel like it was genuine. I just feel like because she's just in a vulnerable state right now, and if there are any other family members that are going to step up to do this, where the fuck they at? Because there's been nobody here but me and my husband. So I just feel like she may be just eating a slice of humble pie right now because she needs me. I just don't feel like the apology was genuine, but it's okay. It's okay. Mommy, I forgive you. I forgive you. You know, it's okay. I forgive you. There's no way in hell that I would be able to heal if I continue to harbor the feelings that I have of unforgiveness. So I forgive you. I love you. Don't mean I like you all the time, but I definitely love you. So I just wanted to hop on real quick and just vent and get this out and say to you that if you are a caregiver of a loved one, God bless you. I'm just a month in, and this has not been an easy task for me at all, especially with the parent that you're kind, or not really estranged, but that you don't feel that parental connection to, I guess. And that's where I am. But like I said, you know, I'm gonna try my all to do my best, and when I can, I can. I just can't. Not really worried about what anybody else will have to say about it, because ain't nobody else here doing what I'm doing except for me and my husband. Okay? So shout out to all those caregivers. Shout out to everybody healing also. Shout out to everybody trying to heal while you're still going. Oh God. Just to, I can't even put it in the, I cannot. Shout out to everybody healing from things that they did not have a chance to even prepare for. Does that make sense? I tell you, life is just funny. Life is funny. But one thing's for certain and two things for sure. I know without a shadow of a doubt, I am not going to put the burden of my care on my children. I am not going to do it. Now, me and my daughter, because our relationship is a little estranged, it's a little funky, you know, and that's a podcast for another time. You know, she may just like, she may just like chain me up and put me in the trunk or something and just feed me once a day. I don't know. I doubt if she would do that to me. I really do. You know, I pray that I do right by them so that they'll, if they choose to take on that responsibility, they'll be okay. But if not, I'm perfectly okay with that. We can't expect for our children to take care of us. That's really not how life is supposed to go. The human thing. You, and in other cultures, you know, that's what they do. They take care of mama. You know, they take care of mama. And my husband said something to me. I'm gonna end with this. He said something to me the other night when we were talking. He said, "Well, you know, I'm almost sure that if your relationship with your mother was different, that this journey would be completely different for you." And he is absolutely right. Absolutely right. But here's where we are with my mother. Here's where I am with my mother at this moment. I'm going to try to see the blessing in all of this. I'm still thankful that I have her in my life, even at this capacity. I know that my mama was hurting. I forgive her for what she's done. I pray, I really wish that she had gotten the help that she needed. I forgive her. She did the best she could with what she had. I forgive her. That's all I can do. And maybe through finding, maybe through forgiveness, you know, I will continue to heal and this journey will become just a little bit easier. Just a little bit easier. But I damn sure do miss my mornings. Lord knows I miss my mornings. I don't be wanting to be social so daggone early, man. I need to be quiet. I need to be quiet. Yeah, y'all pray for me. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk soon again, I promise. Take great care. I'm gonna tell you no matter.